from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
There is so much news coming out right now regarding the Kansas City Royals. They have made 4 trades in a very short period of time. They have traded for Hunter Harvey. They have traded for Michael Lorenzen. They have traded for Lucas Erceg. And they have also traded for Paul DeJong. There is no better person to break down all of these moves as the trade deadline is coming to a close than with Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. Vern, how you doing today, my man?
I'm terrific. I was just remarking to Rob how different this is from a year ago. I was in such a bad mood at the deadline last year because we were talking about a garbage Royals team giving away its garbage to other teams, and there was really nothing to dissect. But as you just said, yeah, 4 quality big leaguers coming to Kansas City to help this second half playoff push. Yeah, it's a fun time coming off an outstanding game last night. I'm in a great mood.
I guess my first question, my biggest takeaway from all of this is I'm wondering if they got their closer. That's not what Lorenzen can be, not also what you think that Harvey can be. But if you look at Erceg, like, you can squint hard enough and you can really argue that they got their closer today.
Yeah, you're 100% right. And you know, the closer, to me, you have a number one. You have a high leverage guy, whether he's wrapping it up in the ninth inning or he's coming up to face the top of the lineup in the eighth. Yeah, I agree. The desire of a majority of Royals fans that I talked to before and after games was, go give me someone that I can maybe not put my feet up in the ninth inning, can allows me to feel confident that 3 outs are secured. And yeah, I think if you're a totem pole of relievers, and now you decide on number 2. I mean, honestly, Hunter Harvey's probably number 2. So your top 2 relievers were acquired in the past few weeks. Your bench is better. I think Paul Young will be a nice upgrade over Nick Lofton as far as some power, some right-handed power. And then you mentioned Michael Lorenzen. I would rather have Michael Lorenzen because, listen, we've all noted about this rotation being on pace for just about every single one of them to set a career high in innings pitched. So it's tough to look at this rotation and say, I need more innings out of you down the stretch. Now, I'm not saying I need you to regress, but I don't know if I can ask you for more. And we've talked about this bullpen, even with the addition of Erceg and Hunter Harvey, the loss of John Schreiber. I don't know if I'm looking at that bullpen and saying, all right, let's heap more innings on that bullpen. I need someone that I feel as if can give me quality innings and can pick up the innings that they log in the second half. And I think that's what Michael Lorenzen brings. So the checklist, I I have to imagine, as we're going to hear from JJ coming up in a moment, the checklist, all those boxes are basically checked, because you're not going to go out and get a bona fide stud, shut him down, Wade Davis closer, because those guys are few and far between, and those guys cost a lot more than what you gave up. To me, what the Royals gave up doesn't change the expectation. You know, what they parted with doesn't have me saying, oh, wow, all right, well, now you must make the playoffs. The expectation to me is unchanged.
Vern, let's say that Monday against the Red Sox, so an important game, a game that can give you a game up, a leg up, you can create more separation. Let's say this is a 3-2 Royals lead heading into the seventh inning. Give me your ideal, now that we know the pieces. They are not adding anybody else. Give me your seventh inning guy. Give me your eighth inning guy. Who's closing it out in the ninth to preserve that 3-2 lead?
I would say the top three relievers right now with a bullpen are Lucas Urseg 1, Hunter Harvey 2. I have to say Angel Zerpa 3, just because Chris Bubich hasn't done it long enough this season, or really in his career, as far as being a lockdown high leverage reliever. He's been a quality starting pitcher. There's no reason to believe that he won't perform well in that role, but I've seen Angel Zerpa do it a lot more than I've seen Chris Bubich do it. So, Bubich maybe comes in fourth as he battles still there with James MacArthur, as this allows him to build up some confidence. But I'd go Urseg, Harvey, Zerpa, 1-2-3.
What do you think they should do with James MacArthur?
With Will Klein being moved out, Jonathan Boland's going to take that roster spot, it looks like, tonight. And that's according to Annie Rogers of MLB.com. She says his jersey's hanging up in the clubhouse right now. Michael Lorenzen, when he shows up tomorrow, I think he takes Boland's spot. Schreiber's gone for the season, so that spot's already been occupied. MacArthur, if they believe his confidence is shook, you could go let him hopefully find it in Omaha. But just looking up and down that roster right now, are they willing to take a $5 million haircut? Are they willing to impact the clubhouse enough to send Chris Stratton on his way? I don't know. But, yeah, sure, you could option James MacArthur, but he's better than Chris Stratton. And if we're trying to build the best team, I think MacArthur stays. Unless the confidence is shook.
Right now, we're talking to our Royals insider, Josh Vern. You're coming up in about 8 minutes or so. We're going to hear from J.J. Piccolo. He has a press conference that is scheduled. We will play at least the opening 4 or 5 minutes of the press conference. I do want to hear what he has to say. We're talking to our guy, Josh Vernier. Why I really like Urseg is, and this is just me looking at the box score, he seems like a guy that can get strikeouts. They need a swing and a miss guy. They just don't have that guy that's currently in their bullpen. He has 41 strikeouts, 13 walks this year. They really needed somebody like him.
Yeah, 98 to 99 with his fastball, a pretty good slider, and as you guys pointed out earlier, former big leaguer Dallas Braden just raving about the toughness and the dedication to winning, so it's not as if there's a big ego about to step into that bullpen that's going to demand, give me the ninth inning, I don't pitch back-to-back. A former big leaguer, an announcer that's behind the scenes, that's on the plane, that's in the clubhouse, that, gets to see a certain side of these guys that a lot of others don't. For him to rave in that fashion about Urseg shows you that, he's going to be in the trenches. He's ready to go to battle for these guys down the stretch. And yes, the chase numbers, the whiff numbers, that's why this team has stuck with James MacArthur in that role for so long, is because he's one of the few options that has showcased that at a consistent enough basis, right? The guys like Stratton and Will Smith, they're trying to tease you, right? It's about changing speeds and elevations and getting you out in front. And, a guy like Urseg, a guy like Harvey, a guy like MacArthur, when they're going right, it's here it is. We don't think you can touch it. And listen, the guy needs to come here and do it, right? He's pitched 2 years in the big leagues only with Oakland, so he's never pitched in a big game in his life. And any time he's been a part of a big crowd, it's been on the road. So he's got to pass a few tests, but good move, especially, again, when you see what they gave up You know, maybe Mason Barnett becomes a number three, number four. Maybe he's a reliable starter. I don't know. Will Klein, maybe he becomes a reliable reliever. I don't know. What you gave up today, what you've given up over the past few weeks, if any of those guys turn into difference makers, yeah, history will tell a different story about today. It'll rule differently about whether or not it was a win for the Royals, but I'll be shocked if any of those three that they gave up for Urseg or Caden Wallace, who they gave up for Hunter Harvey, I'll be shocked if any of the four are difference makers.
Vern, I got two questions. I know you got to get out of here. Let's start with the first one. Let's talk about the other move they made today. They picked up Lucas Urseg. They also got Paul DeJong. I mean, they are currently playing against him. He's just going across the street, going across the dugout. He is not really hitting for a great average, not really getting on base, strikeouts a bunch, but he is a guy who hits for power. He does give you a little, extra base power. This feels like this is a depth move. This is an upgrade over Nick Lofton. This is if a guy gets injured, if you need somebody to start on a Sunday, that's what this move feels like to me.
Well, the way that Matt Quatrero handles his roster, if you're on the team, you're going to play. It's not very often a guy is playing once a week. Dairon Blanco, now he'll see a little bit more bench, but he's in just about every single game late as a pinch runner. So I would think you would see Paul DeJong in the lineup 2, 3, maybe 4 times a week. What he allows Q late in games is a right-handed option off the bench with some pop. Even when he's in the lineup, that's going to allow Freddie Fermin to be on the bench late. And Freddie, as we've seen since the beginning of May, has some pop, an OPS north of 800. So Freddie and, Paul DeJong, to me, it's just way too often that we see the Royals putting both Salvi and Freddie in the lineup, and that's a recipe for disaster, having both of your catchers in the lineup every single night. So I think that's going to allow a Freddie to get more time off, Salvi to get an occasional day off, but it's going to allow Q to have a right-handed option off the bench.
Vern, last thing here, and I appreciate your time. We're going to hear from J.J. Piccolo here coming up in a bit. I don't know if this plan's going to work for the Royals. It could work, it could fail. That's the beauty of sports, is that we'll see. I give the Royals a lot of credit for it. It was very clear that they had a plan. You also could say that they executed that plan. J.J. Piccolo told us a month ago what they were going to do at the deadline, and they executed. They weren't going to sell the farm. They were going to try to get guys that helped them in the long term. They did both of those things.
Right, and that's why even when I say if a Caden Wallace, a Jared Dickey, a Mason Barnett, a Will Klein, the guys that you gave up, even if they become difference makers, all that means is Lucas Urseg better be good this year or next year or the year after that or the year after that. You have a lot of control of him. You know, if Caden Wallace turns into a difference maker, Hunter Harvey better be darn good this year and next year. So it's not as if you're pushing all your chips in the middle and saying, boys, we need you right now and only right now. No, if you fall short of the postseason, yeah, we're going to be disappointed, but the moves that were made today aren't going to make this season a failure if you fall short, especially since Harvey, Urseg, and the rest, you can run it back with them next year. No, not DeJong, not Lorenzen, but the big signings, the guys that jumped to the top of the totem pole as far as that bullpen is concerned, they're back next year too.
That is our guy, Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. He is the Royals insider. The Royals, they have been very active at the deadline. They have made 4 separate trades over the course of the last couple of weeks. No better person to break that down than our guy, Josh Vern. Vern, I appreciate you, my man. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. That's Josh Vern. You're joining us on the show today. Coming up in just a bit, we are going to go live to Kauffman Stadium to hear from J.J. Piccolo. The Royals have made a lot of moves over the course of the last couple of weeks. Let's hear from the general manager and what he has to say about said moves. Before we do that, let's just spend however long we got celebrating how incredible Bobby Witt Jr. is.
And here's Bobby Witt Jr. First pitch. Fastball lifted, deep to left field. Benintendi back on the track. It's out of here. Bobby Witt Jr. delivers a go-ahead grand slam. The Royals take the lead in the top of the 8th. It is 8-5. Nobody is hotter than Bobby Witt Jr. is right now. His 4th hit of the game.
I was on ESPN.com earlier today, and I was reading an article, and this article was from March of earlier this year, and the headline was Ranking Baseball's Top 100 Players. And I was just curious to see at the beginning of the season where they had Bobby Witt Jr. ranked. They had him as the 16th best player in baseball. I'm imagining that if they redid this, he would be in the top five. I believe that today you could make the argument that Bobby Witt Jr. is the best player in baseball. And when you think of our lifetime, at least if you're under 40, because I can't speak if you're over 40, who that person could potentially be. If you are under the age of 40, think about the baseball players that have laid to that claim. We're talking about Alex Rodriguez, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds. We can go up and down the list of guys who at one point have been able to say, or we were able to say about them, you are the best baseball player in the world. That's where we are right now with Bobby Witt Jr. and what he has been able to accomplish here over the course of the last month. You factor in his speed, his defense, he can hit for power, he can hit for average, his defense, whatever you need done on a baseball field, he can do, and not just do it at an okay, I'm talking at an elite Hall of Fame level. That's what we are seeing right now. We are seeing a Hall of Fame baseball player, and it is scary to think he is not even in his prime. Bobby Witt Jr. is 24 years old. He was born June 14th of 2000. We still have another 8, 9, 10 years of this thing in theory with Bobby Witt Jr., of him playing at an incredibly high level. We are talking about a player that does a little bit of everything. He has the most hits in Major League Baseball. He has the highest batting average. He has 30 doubles this year, 10 triples this year, can drive in runs. Again, whatever you need done, Bobby Witt Jr. can do it. He is going to finish top three in MVP voting. I don't know if he's going to win. He's not the favorite to win the award. Aaron Judge is the favorite. I could also see Gunnar Henderson winning the award. I mean, that's the top three. It is Bobby Witt Jr., Aaron Judge, and Gunnar Henderson for American League MVP. This is one of the greatest Royal seasons that we have ever seen. If you're under the age of 40, I would argue that this is the best Royal season that we have ever seen. Now, Grinke's year in 2009 was really, really strong. This is better than that. What we have seen Bobby Witt Jr. do over the course of the last 3 weeks or so, and just over the course of the season, this is the best Royal season that I can remember. Now, George Brett has had some great years. I didn't get a chance to see George Brett. But at least over the last 30 years or so, there is not a season that a Royals player has put together that has been better than what we have seen. He won them the game yesterday. I know it's the White Sox, and maybe you're taking something from it. The Royals needed a big hit, and they looked to their superstar to provide said big hit. That's what they needed. They needed their superstar to play like and be a superstar, and he did in the absolute biggest moment for them yesterday. So if you told me that you think Shohei Ohtani is the best player in baseball, I wouldn't argue. Maybe you think it's Mookie Betts. Like, there's multiple answers that it could be. But Bobby Witt Jr. is absolutely in that conversation. Let's hear from the general manager of the Royals. Here's J.J. Pecola.
You know, we're pretty happy with the way this went over the last couple of days. We had an objective that we wanted to add to our bullpen. We were able to accomplish that. We were also able to add some depth to our rotation and then add a bat. And, you know, the bigger thing for us over the last couple of days, we wanted to do what we could to help this club, but we also had in mind, you know, our prospect value and how we needed to protect that. When we have looked back and evaluated how this all turned out, we feel like we accomplished both. We've got four new members of our major league team that we're looking forward to having on the field. One has already been there. And, you know, I think we have improved our overall depth on our major league team. And again, maintaining the depth in our minor league system. So it was, trying to thread the needle of doing both. It's not the easiest thing. There were certain things we would have loved to have done, but in the end, the cost acquisition was just higher than we were willing to go. And I think it's pretty indicative of what's happened over the last 48 to 72 hours. So that's all I got. So whatever questions.
Right now, we're listening to JJ Piccolo as he's meeting with the media.
Andy, can you – let's try Andy. She's having problems with the connection, but are you good?
Hey, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, perfect.
I'm just gonna ask it and hope that it goes through. JJ, can you take us through the Ursig trade first and how that came about? Given that he's a reliever with several years of control, not just one. Harvey earlier.
Yeah, no, I'll do the best I can. I mean, that was something that we've been discussing for a couple weeks. You know, of course, the further away you are from today, you know, the more vague the discussions are. I think it probably came into focus some point yesterday that we were one of the teams that had a chance to acquire Ursig. And you just kind of, you know, go back and forth. Barnett's not somebody we felt comfortable trading, but we felt like we needed to, given the years of control that Ursig has. Klein was a tough guy to trade as well. He was there with the major league team, and we believe in his upside. And then Dickey, who's in A ball, but you know, he proved to be a pretty valuable piece in this trade. So, you know, giving up three players for one is never the easiest thing. But looking at this year's team and then looking forward, 25, 26, 27, we think Lucas Ursig's better days are ahead of him. So that was really compelling to us. And we were just glad that we ended up being the team, because I know there was competition for him to land Lucas.
All right, Jalen.
JJ, the move for Paul DeJong, what kind of led it into going about getting him? And do you have any concerns with his swing and miss or potentially his walk rates?
Now, what we like about him is his versatility in the infield. He's been mostly shortstop, third base. You know, he's hit 18 home runs this year. That's something we wanted, whether it's off the bench or in the lineup. We wanted somebody potentially was a threat to hit the long ball. He's done that, you know, and there's some things certainly that, you know, stand out that you mentioned. But in the end, we're trying to put a team together, and this team was missing a right-handed threat off the bench or in the lineup on occasion, and that's what Paul will do for us. So we thought it was a good fit. Acquisition cost was right, and that's why we moved forward with it.
Appreciate it.
Yep.
All right, Sam.
Hey, JJ, couple things. Just wonder if you could get more into Ursig and where you feel like he fits into your bullpen immediately and then for the long term, and then I'll have something else too.
Yeah, I mean, he's clearly a back-end guy. I mean, now we have Hunter Harvey and him. I think we got to let this thing play out. But the depth at the back end, there's power. We've discussed this for a couple months now. Somebody can strike somebody out. I think it's a 27% strikeout rate, around a 10% walk rate. Guys that have that kind of power get away with more. They'll get more swing and miss. They'll get more chase. And he's really, I'll say, scratching the surface. I know it's a very interesting background with having been a position player, but he continues to get better. Our scouts, the homework we did around the league, you talk to our hitters, they talked about how difficult of an at-bat it is against him. He's got a lot of movement to his fastball profile. So where he evolves or what he evolves into will take some time, but he's been closing some games there in the last week or so with an injury that they had. So we don't see any reason why he can't grow into a legitimate closer in time. You know, it's I think the protection we have right now is we've got some veterans in the bullpen that have pitched in big games. We've got Harvey, who brings some power to what he does. And now with Ursig, you got two guys in the back end. Of course, you got Mac that has been holding that down. So we're going to mix and match for a little bit here. I haven't had a lot of time to talk to Q about the specifics of it. But we'll talk about that more in the future with you all as it evolves.
And then obviously, you know, the 5-year acquired Hunter earlier this month. It was another extra year of control. What's just the significance of sort of, I mean, obviously that this bullpen issue was going to be something I'm sure you were looking at in the offseason. What's the significance of being able to not only address this year's team, but also address maybe a future need that you would have been addressing in the offseason?
Yeah, without getting into the specifics of names, we had a list of guys that we would not trade, and we had a list of guys we would only trade if there was years of control that come along with the acquisition. So a couple of the guys we traded here were on that list, but we just tried to really stay disciplined to sticking with that reasoning. I think we did a good job with that. But the years of control are pretty significant on Lucas, and, you know, having the extra year of Hunter Harvey is pretty significant to us. So we're thinking about 25, certainly thinking about 26. So when we go into this offseason, we just checked off a box that we would have been looking to fill. And I think the competition would just continue to be strong. I didn't see, you know, sometimes it's, you think you know what's going to happen, but when you get a chance to strike, you just got to strike. And that was a chance for us to strike and hopefully lock down our bullpen here again, not just this year, but years moving forward.
All right, Joel.
JJ, you've been talking in recent weeks, I mean, even today, threading the needle, you've used that term. You've talked about winning on the margins. Do you feel like you did that? And how difficult did this reliever market get after you acquired Harvey in terms of what everyone was giving up?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for other teams. When you look at, you know, prospect value that was given up for guys that were more short-term than Hunter Harvey and certainly Lucas Irsay, it was pretty clear that teams were giving up quite a bit to get even that 2 months of control. So when we reflect on it, and I guess it'll take a couple days to digest it all and really think through it, when we reflect on it, we feel like we were able to accomplish what we set out to do, and that was to maintain our farm system best we could. But whenever you go to acquire high-end talent, whether it's Hunter Harvey or Irsay, there's going to be some pain that goes along with it. I think we're able to minimize it, and when we look at the different trades that were made, I think, again, we accomplished what we set out to do in getting guys that are going to help us this year moving forward.
And that was the Royals press conferences. They have made two trades today. They have traded for Lucas Irsay. They picked him up. They also have Paul DeJong. They got Irsay from the A's, and they have DeJong from the Chicago White Sox. Coming up on the other side, we can take your guys' phone calls. We'll get you guys' thoughts on this. 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. The Royals were buyers at the deadline. What do you guys think? We'll keep covering it. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful day. The Royals, they're making a lot of moves. They have made four trades over the course of the last 2 weeks. They pick up Hunter Harvey. They also make a trade for Michael Lorenzen. They get Lucas Erceg in the bullpen as well, and they also pick up Paul DeJong. A little bit of roster news and notes for the Royals as well. You know, they add in guys. They got to make some news, at least clearing up some roster spaces. So Paul DeJong has been activated. They have also recalled Jonathan Bolin. Nick Lofton has been optioned down to Omaha, and Will Klein, he has been included in the trade for Lucas Erceg. So I'm imagining we're going to see another roster move tomorrow. You got to make room to put Lucas Erceg on the team. We'll see what they do. But Nick Lofton down, Paul DeJong is up. He was already in Chicago, so that's a quick just walk next door, and you will be in uniform for the Kansas City Royals tonight. I assume he will be active today and playing for the Royals, which just yesterday he was playing for the Chicago White Sox. I would say overall, Rob, this trade deadline, I think you have to give the Royals a B. I don't think it's fair to give them an A. It's not because I'm down on any of the moves, but I think you only possibly made one legitimate impact move for right now. Now, I could be wrong on Michael Lorenzen. I could be wrong on Hunter Harvey, but we're just talking to Vern. I think this also based on the numbers. It's possible that the Royals traded for their closer today. So you go from a situation where you felt uncertainty about that spot on your in your bullpen. Fast forward to now, he's one of their better relief pitchers. So you feel really good about that. I also don't want to oversell going to go get Paul DeJong. I also don't want to oversell getting Michael Lorenzen. I mean, we're talking about guys who have kind of bounced around a little bit. In the case of Paul DeJong, I mean, this is the fifth team that he's played on since the beginning of the 2023 season. So we are talking about a guy who is in a journeyman stage in his career. Same thing with Lorenzen. So I'm not here to just oversell this and tell you that the Royals did a bang-up job and they deserve an A-plus based on how they perform. But I give the Royals a lot of credit for they had an issue in their bullpen. They also clearly had a budget. I think they found some good pieces that could help this team make the postseason and also not extend past their budget. I think the Royals get and deserve a lot of credit for being active at the deadline, and they at least executed a plan. We will see if their plan works. The beautiful thing about sports is it's a simple pass or fail. If they make the postseason, then it worked. If they don't make the postseason, then it failed. Sports are that simple. Did you win? Did you lose? There's usually not an in-between. So the fact that they have a plan, they have executed the said plan, now let's see if the plan works or not. I can't answer that question for you right now. No one can answer that question right now. Let's see how it works. They had a weakness. They have tried to strengthen that weakness over the course of the last 5 or 6 days or so. I'm willing to give them the chance to see if it works or not and see how the rest of this season plays itself out. They have two more games remaining against the White Sox. At a minimum, I believe they're going to win at least one of these games. They're going to win the series against the White Sox. And then I would say, I mean, more so than any, it's really go time. It will be August 1st. You got the Red Sox right around the corner, the Cardinals right around the corner, Minnesota, Cleveland for 7 games. Once we get out of this White Sox stretch over the next couple of days, it is go time for the Kansas City Royals, and they needed to do something. If the Royals didn't do anything, they were not going to be able to hold on and make the postseason. They obviously needed to do something in the back half of their bullpen. They did that. So I am going to give them a B based on this trade deadline and also having the foresight to look to next year. You got a couple of those spots locked up. Hunter Harvey's going to be in their bullpen next year. Lucas Ursek is going to be in their bullpen next year. So you didn't just address the here and now with a couple of moves. You also look to 2025, look to 2026 to try to fix some problems. I give J.J. Piccolo and his staff a lot of credit.
This is probably semantics because I would give it a B+ because I don't want to speak for the entire text line. That is unfair. But there was a clamoring at this time last week on the text line that you should be selling pieces on the farm to get championship pieces on the major league club. And we've seen Kansas City do that once. Dayton Moore in 2015 did that. Then 2016 was mediocre, 2017 was bad, and 2018, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023 were horrific. And one of the major reasons it was horrific, and there are a lot of reasons to it, it's not just one singular thing, is the Royals went all in 15, and then the cupboard was left totally bare. The Royals are not as talented today as they were in 2015, so there was no reason to go all in. But the Royals were able to keep their top prospects. Now, how the industry views their top prospects versus how they view them, we'll just see who's right. But they kept those guys in-house. They didn't give up any major league quality player on their active roster at this point, and they added guys that can help them now and guys that can help them this year, next year, and beyond. So I give them a B+ because they didn't hemorrhage the future. If anything, they potentially strengthened the future, and they still were able to strengthen 24. Do I think it's a World Series title team? Probably not. But do I think this team should be held to the standard of you were buying on July 30th, you should be holding on to wild card spot? Yes, and playoff baseball in Kansas City could be a springboard for more playoff baseball down the line, and we won't look at what happened as a pocket. It could be sustained success because Royals did not go all in.
Yeah, I just also think, I mean, just given where you are as an organization, I just think it just, that has to factor in. I never for a second thought that they were going to be one of the more aggressive teams at the deadline that just, that didn't really line up. I don't think they have the pieces in their farm system to be very aggressive in this year's trade deadline. Let's see how they handle the offseason. Let's see how they handle, I mean, there is a second sort of trade period in the NFL once we get to the winter meetings. Let's just see how that plays itself out. I'm happy. I think if you are a Royals fan today, you should be happy. And Royals fans wanted to see what the commitment was going to be from the owner, was going to see what the commitment was going to be from Sherman. And I would say over the course of the last 6 months, you have had that answer. They were aggressive in free agency. They signed maybe the best player in baseball and have him locked up for club control. And at the trade deadline, they made 4 moves. I don't know what more you wanted the owner of the Kansas City Royals to do more than what he has done so far. Again, we have to see if they are right or wrong. Like, the jury is still out on this, but early returns, I really like the aggressiveness that they've had. I really like the foresight that I believe they've shown in all of these moves, and I am hopeful. I am excited for a really fun final, 60 games of the season. The Royals only have 4 more homestands for the rest of the year. There's 4 left, and 1 starts next week. Like, it is August 1st, and it is go time around Major League Baseball. Everybody's roster is set. You are not making another move at the deadline because the deadline is now passed. If you look at the standings, the Royals are 7 games back in the division. You guys know I have not been concerned with the division really for the last 3 months or so. It's about the wild card. Today, the Yankees have a 4.5 game lead on the Royals. The Twins have a 1 game lead on the Royals. And the Royals are 1 up on the Boston Red Sox. They're 2 up on Seattle. They're 3 up on Tampa Bay. And there's a big gap between the Royals and the Texas Rangers, who are still under 500. So if you look at it, there are 6 teams right now fighting for the wild card spot that are all over 500. Only 3 of those teams are going to make the postseason. Someone's going to win 86 games and miss the postseason and be disappointed. That is just sports. That is the way this works. The Royals gave them a chance to be one of the teams that is going to be happy with how this plays itself out between now and then. I think that's all you can ask for as a fan. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive. Now CDOT's got one extra point.
Welcome back into The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you guys. Let's play Robert Saleh. He is the head coach of the New York Jets. Aaron Rodgers is not going to play in the first 2 preseason games for the Jets.
We haven't really talked about it. My instinct right now as I stand here is we'll see. My instinct is no, but I want to leave it open that that third game is the one where we're deciding. So he definitely won't play the first 2, but the discussion on the third one, we just haven't quite had yet.
That was the head coach of the New York Jets talking about Aaron Rodgers. I made a list, and I believe that these are the 3 biggest stories currently in the National Football League. Number 1, I believe it's Aaron Rodgers. Last year, last offseason, it was the hype. It was the buzz. It was the buildup. It was the anticipation of seeing Aaron Rodgers. We didn't really get to see Aaron Rodgers. He didn't play for very long. This year, that roster feels largely the same. Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, a couple of other pieces. The defense seems mostly intact. I want to see if the Jets made the right decision and how much Aaron Rodgers still has left in the tank. So I think that Rodgers is the top story currently in the league. I think the second biggest story in the league right now is the Kansas City Chiefs and their pursuit of a 3rd straight championship. Maybe I am just misremembering this. I'm not sure if the Patriots, you felt like, had a chance to win 3 in a row. Maybe you felt like the Cowboys in the 90s had this opportunity. But I think you can look up and down the Chiefs roster, and they appear to be better at some places than other places. That you look at this team and the improvements that they made at wide receiver, this roster just feels really complete. They feel like they are a better roster today than they were last year at the end of the season when they won the Super Bowl. So you put that together, it feels like, hey, this maybe is as good of a chance as any as we have seen as a team to win 3 of these in a row. The last thing that I think, so these are the 3 top stories I think right now are in the National Football League. The last one is just there's a lot of contract uncertainty in the National Football League, a lot of it. You have CeeDee Lamb, you got Dak Prescott, you got Trent Williams, you've got Brandon Ayuk. There's a lot of contract uncertainty that usually gets cleared up between now and the beginning of the season. Now, it can get cleared up with the very simple, we are not going to give you a deal. I mean, that's what happened with Chris Jones. It got cleared up. The Chiefs just kept saying no at almost every single turn, and eventually he had to come back to work. But I think we'll see a couple more deals get signed. I do think, I mean, the Dak Prescott number is there. I mean, if Dak wants to continue to play for the Cowboys, we know what the number is. The number is between $58 and $60 million. Now, maybe the Cowboys end up doing that deal. Maybe they don't. But I do think that the number is there. Rob, before we sign off today, I want to encourage you guys to check out our podcast, the Bad Movies Worst Opinions podcast, where we believe that everybody has a favorite bad movie. And the only rule is that we must watch a movie that is rated below a 6.0 on IMDb. Rob, this week's movie is Triple X, the 2002 action movie with Vin Diesel. So I highly encourage you guys to check it out. Go listen to it, subscribe, do all those things that podcasters tell you to do. What I want to tell you, Rob, is Vin Diesel is the action hero of his generation. I'm not saying he is the greatest action hero of all time. He is not that. But over the last 20 years, it is either him or Keanu Reeves as John Wick. I will not listen to your Jason Statham. I will not listen to The Rock. The Rock joined Vin Diesel's franchise, not the other way around. Vin Diesel, the action hero of the last 25 years or so. We have seen Fast and the Furious go from a street racing series to now a high-end action movie. And Vin Diesel has been at the middle of it. He's been in, what, 7 of those movies? He deserves a lot of credit. You know what Vin Diesel did? He found his lane and he stayed in it. You know, he didn't try to deviate too much. He tried to do one movie that was outside his lane. And he was like, nah, never again. They want me to be the car action extreme guy and they're going to pay me all this money to do it? I'm going to keep doing it. I'm going to keep working out. I'm going to keep looking buff. And I'm going to continue to be an action hero. So check out our podcast, Bad Movies, Worst Opinions. We are signing off today. We hand things off to Josh Verner and the Royals. Back again tomorrow. Keep it right here on 610 Sports Radio.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.